Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Glory to God. You know, it doesn't matter what we do here if the Holy Spirit's not involved, huh? If the Holy Spirit's not involved, we're just coming and hanging out is all we're doing. You know, but when the Holy Spirit's involved, things happen. Amen? You know, my wife and I and another couple were at a restaurant last weekend, and we were just eating and having fun, you know, and all of a sudden the Lord quickened my wife on this person that walked by, you know. Oh, it was our waitress. And just asked, you got any pain in your body? And Lily says, yeah, and we got to pray for her right then and there. Well, guess what? Right after that, the next table over, the lady had a problem with her leg. So we got to pray with her, and she took her brace off and everything right there in the restaurant and was able to move around and stand up. And her pain was like excruciating, like a 7 or an 8, and it came all the way down to a 3. And we would have stayed on it even longer till it got to a 0. But she goes, man, a 3's great. I'm good with a 3. It's like, okay, however you're happy, praise God. So it's just about being present with the Holy Spirit, you know, and even us, you know, if I have trouble, I was at a 4th of July thing yesterday, and I had a little bit of trouble receiving a healing in my own body. I asked a couple of people that were there yesterday to pray for me, and boy, I felt the presence of God and the tingling all taking place, and I got healed right there on the spot. And I just go, man, Holy Spirit, you are so good to us. But without Him, we can do nothing. We can do nothing at all. So I want to talk today, if I'm even able to. Did you go ahead and start, Emmy? Did you start the thing? Oh, praise God. So I want to talk today. Now, you know me in titles. We don't get along very well. I'll believe I'm going to be talking about one thing, and we're going to go somewhere else. So I think it's going to be called today, Practice Makes Perfect. That's not in the Bible, you know that? But we all know that it's true, don't we? If you start doing something brand new, you have to practice at it. I remember my wife, she was learning how to play the guitar. At first I said, oh honey, that sounds so good. Keep it up. 2 years later I meant it. You got that one, huh? 2 years later I meant it. Because I was encouraging her, because it is very clumsy, it is awkward, it doesn't sound melodious by a long shot. And just when you start getting into a bit of a song she's playing, she starts messing up and stops and then has to start all over. And my heart's floating along with her, and it has to stop. And then, all right, wait till we start it again, you know, because it just wants to flow with the music. And so practice makes perfect. All of us have to practice. So I want to talk to you today about some Bible verses that are really important that I've in the past read right over the top of a lot of times. I read them, I say they're true, but in all honesty, I'm not taking them to heart. And so let's just start with a couple of verses. And here's one, Isaiah 26:3. If you'll go ahead and turn with me to Isaiah 26:3. Let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as everyone's turning to their scriptures, I just want to exalt you and acknowledge you. Holy Spirit, we're so thankful for you here today. We're so thankful for you being with us. Boy, that's really disruptive. Right in the middle of prayer. Father, I just thank you that no matter what the distractions are, no matter what comes up, you're always faithful. You're always with us, Lord. Jesus even ministered to 5,000 people with crying children and hungry people and people complaining because it was hot or they were hungry, and he just kept on ministering, Lord. And I just thank you that even in distractions, we can stay completely connected to you, and I just give you all the praise for that. Father, I ask that your word would be illuminated in our hearts and our minds today, that as we set our attention to seeing into your word and having your word illuminated to our hearts and minds, that we would be able to let these words go deeply, that we can lay hold of them to be transformed by them. And I trust you that you're working in the lives of every single individual here, that we're not going to just get more church today, but that revelation knowledge would be infused into every person that can hear my voice right now. And I just thank you for that, Jesus, and I give you all the praise and all the glory for it. Amen. Amen. So we're at Isaiah 26, verse 3, and it says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." Amen. How many of you like to be in perfect peace? Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace, or perfected peace. That absolute peace of God. Because that peace of God actually guards our hearts and our minds, is what the scripture says, right? In Philippians chapter 4, to be anxious for nothing, that the peace of God is to guard our hearts and our minds. It's very important for that perfected peace, whose mind is stayed on you. How do you do that? How do you get your mind stayed on the Lord? Because we trust Him, right? We have to learn how to actually not only have our mind, but the whole way that we think, the whole way that we operate, the whole way that we identify with ourselves as us, to be on Him. Because He is our life, right? So we need to learn how to do this. And I want to go through a couple of scriptures with you. This may sound kindergarten, these scriptures I'm going to bring, but they're not. They're vitally important if you learn how to do it. That's why Practice Makes Perfect is the title today. I used to dance. You may not be able to tell by my physique of today, but I used to be a ballerino. Yes, that's with an O. That's the boy version. I used to do jazz, tap, and ballet for many years, and I used to dance a lot. Well, one thing about dance is when you see us on stage and all that wonderful choreography and how graceful everything is on stage, do you know you can only be as graceful as you are strong? Because you take a very difficult thing and through strength make it look very smooth and very easy. So when I would lift those ladies up over my head and spin around, I made it just look very fluid and very easy to do those dances. However, I had to work hard to do that. Not only that, every day we would work on basics in dance class. We would have to do our releves, we'd have to do our battements, we'd have to do all of the basic movements of dance every single day. Because the basic movements or dance are all individual notes in a song. But as you take that note and arrange them in different orders, it creates a dance, right? And we enjoy the whole dance. If somebody just stood there and just plied, 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 it'd be pretty boring, right? It would be. So you got to do some plies, releves, and then a few kicks and fun things, twirls and different things to be entertained by the dance, right? It's the same way with the things of God. We have to work on the basics every single day. We might miss one day or 2 days here or there for one reason or another, but the thing is, the more you work on it, the better you get at it. I used to hate to do sit-ups. I hated sit-ups because my stomach was weak and I couldn't sit up. I mean, when you just lay there on the floor and then just come to a seated position by just lifting your torso up, it was terrible. I hated it. It was hard. It hurt. I hated it. After I kept it up for a few months, it was my favorite exercise because I got strong and it became very easy all of a sudden. Very, very easy because I was strengthened in that area. These things I'm going to teach today are very simplistic things, but if you don't have it down as your normal pattern for operation, it's clunky and you wonder where God's at in all of this, because God is faithful to us. But we have to, in return, give Him back our faithfulness, right? How many of you would like to be in a relationship that's all you? You're the only one maintaining the relationship. You're the only one that says, "I love you." You're the only one that cleans and cooks and earns the money. You're the only one that takes care of and manages the relationship. And the other person doesn't want to spend any time with you, or if they do, they begrudge the time that they spend with you, or they're distracted by other things and you're just some ancillary, secondary little person in their life. How many would enjoy that kind of relationship? I hate those relationships. They don't last very long. But if I'm engaged in you and you're engaged in me, and I like being around you and you like being around me, it's a very healthy, nurturing relationship, isn't it? It's the same way with God. James says that we need to draw near to him, and then he will draw near to us. So we're going to be talking about us doing the drawing near, us making the first efforts, us making the first strides forward. Because what I'm about to share with you may seem like it doesn't work and it's not real. But I'll show you in the Bible where it is. But if you don't, if it's not a reality in your life, you'll wonder where God's at and what's he doing. All right? So let's look at a couple of things. Go ahead and go with me to Luke chapter 11, if you will. We're going to start in verse 5. What I want to talk to you about today, because this is healing school. You know how Jesus says in John chapter 3 that unless you're born from the kingdom of God, you can't see or enter the kingdom of God unless you're born in it, okay? Do you know what? I have met a lot of people that actually have a hard time even seeing into the kingdom of God. Do you know, if you're born again, you can see into the kingdom of God. But I know a lot of Christians that don't know how to do that. They don't know how to see into the kingdom of God. And Jesus says that's the very first part, is to be able to see into the kingdom of God. Am I saying you're not saved if you can't? No, I'm saying there's more than you're experiencing. There's more than you're experiencing available. But practice makes perfect, and I want to give you some things that will help you, that you will stick with it, just trusting what I'm telling you is true until you can experience it yourself. All right? So, go ahead, and we're going to look right here in Luke chapter 11, starting in verse 5. I should probably get there myself. So look at this. This is Jesus, and he's talking, and he's given a parable. This is right after he taught them the Lord's Prayer. So they're talking about, how do we pray? How do we do this spiritual thing? We're spiritual. How do we pray to God? How do we even connect with God? How do we do that? And here's what he says. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer him from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot rise to give to you. Verse 8, I say to you, though he will not rise to give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give to him as many as he needs. Great parable. Jesus, right after he talked about the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, he goes into this parable. What is he encouraging them in? He's encouraging them in this, that once you know the things you need, a healing in your body, a revelation, a word of wisdom, guidance in some area of your life, a job to open up for you, whatever you need to believe God for, you need to know that it is absolutely available for you if you don't have it and you need it. It's absolutely available for you. But it's not going to just be handed to you on a silver platter necessarily. Not at first, not necessarily. At first it's hard and it's clunky. I remember when I had to learn how to do backflips. It was very hard for me to wrap my brain around seeing my body flip over backwards and landing on my feet. It was very hard, and I would do all kinds of crazy things. I would go and turn around because I'm just so used to going this way. To do it this way was crazy. My brain couldn't get it. It took me time to get the picture in my brain of me flipping around so that my body can do what I saw happen. Because you got to see it here to be able to do it. Okay, so what happens is he's saying that The guy's in bed with his kids, and he's not going to get out of bed. This guy just keeps pounding and pounding and pounding until the guy got out of bed to give it to him, because he knew it was available for him there. Amen? So he put all dignity aside. He put, what does somebody else think about me? He put, I'm going to wake the guy up. He needed the food for a friend that came from a long ways away. It was important to him to have this food, right? And so he pressed in to get it. Let's move on. So I say to you, or rather, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? When we know that what we want from God is actually available to us, now we need to press in to get it. I'll tell you, a lot of people are very hurt and very shipwrecked physically and emotionally, wondering what's wrong with me, because what God has to offer doesn't just float down into heaven and fix me. I got pain in my body and it hasn't left. God, what's wrong with me that you're not healing me? Why is that thing happening to me? I tell the devil to leave and he doesn't. God, where are you? Why aren't you fixing my life? God, it's hard for me right now. Why aren't you doing anything about it? And it shipwrecks a lot of people. What I want to tell you is you are new creations in Christ and you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. But you have to learn how to be converted. How to be converted, just like from gasoline to propane. Just like I got my body converted from burning sugar to burning fat. I had to go through a hard period of eating food I wasn't used to eating, taking the time to stick to the diet, going through sugar withdrawals, until over a period of time, which took weeks, not minutes, weeks, for my system to learn to start burning fat instead of sugar. What I'm going to teach you today takes some discipline and some diligence to press in, because it's true. You got to know it's true. And he said, well, Robert, yeah, God may do it for some people, but will he do it for everybody? Go with me over to another scripture. Look over in Luke chapter 12. I'm sorry. It's going to be chapter 12, verse 31 through 34. And I'll just read this to you. It says in verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God and all these things, what? Shall be added to you. All those things that the natural persons need, food, clothing, shelter. And it says, I've got this little note in my Bible that says, let God show you, is what it says in mine. It says, verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms, and provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that do not fail, where there's no thief approaches nor moth destroys. Verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Remember I said that I was eating sugar and I got converted to burning fat instead of burning sugar, and then my body started shedding the fat? I had to learn something new to get a different result in my life, right? So many of us are looking for the world and how to do things naturally to get things accomplished, instead of seeking God first and the kingdom of heaven. And he knows what you need before you ask. He knows that you need all these kinds of things, and he wants to give you what it is you want from him. But we have to stick with it, because where our treasure lies is where our heart's affections are. Am I all worried about me and mine, or do I love the Lord and other people? Is my word on the Lord? Is my heart for the Lord? My life comes from him. Do I really put my mind's attention on him so that I can have peace and stability in my life, knowing that everything I need is in the spiritual realm and that I can actually pull it out of the spiritual realm into this realm? That statement right there, Christians say it all the time. But I don't know a lot of people that know how to get things out of the spirit and bring them into the natural realm. I'm talking to spiritual women and men right now. People who have been born again, that are now children of God, who is a spirit, and know how to get spiritual answers for their natural problems. Practice makes perfect. It's available. But a lot of people, they try for things and they don't see the instant results. And they quit. They quit. But I'm going to give you an exercise today that'll help you. Let me explain something to you. You guys with me? Is this all right? Okay. I want to explain something to you. Trust me that it's true. Test it for yourself, and then you will agree with me. Okay? If you don't know for sure yourself yet, it may not sound real. But I promise you it is. This is how it works. You actually are invisible. The real you looks just like this body here, but it's spirit. It's a different kind of a body. It's a spiritual body. And that part of you is eternal. It will last forever. It's the you that will never die. You had a beginning, but you have no end. Okay? That's the real you, the invisible you that houses this body, which reflects the image of you. This body reflects the image of you. But in your spirit, you're just more young and youthful and strong and intelligent, and you know a lot more in the spirit. But this body is very dull to the things of the spirit. It can't know the things of the spirit. In fact, it's so used to be encounter the spirit. We'll just say it was me eating sugar and a lot of carbs that made me fat and lethargic and lazy, and I couldn't even hardly breathe because I was eating all the wrong foods, okay, for me. But once I changed my diet, which was difficult for me, and I stuck with it, I started getting much better results. I think much clearer. Everything's a lot easier for me. Operating spiritually becomes much easier for you to get the solutions to your problems, so much so that people will realize that you're different from other people, because you don't get stressed out, you don't get all twisted up, because you know how to get things from God in the spirit. You know how to do that. A healing, finances, a restoration of a relationship, and so very, very many, many more things. But I don't want to go into those things. They're too hard for where we're at right now. But let's get this basic part down. So how does it work in the spirit? How does it do that? Entering the kingdom of God. How do you enter the kingdom of God? Shout out an answer, and I'll say it over the microphone. Do what? She says, accept Jesus. Okay, how do you, let me say it this way. How do you participate in the kingdom of God? Say what? Praise. Praise can put you in the kingdom of God. Yes, it can. What? Relationship with Jesus and God, Holy Spirit. What else? Speaking his word. Excellent. How else? Worship. Yes. Reverencing the Lord. Fearing the Lord. Yes. That's the beginning of wisdom. That's very important. Through much tribulation, she says. Yes. That's absolutely true. How else? Most people don't want that, though. But we're going to work through it. I'm going to show you some easy exercises, but you got to stick with them. It's like when I had to learn how to bend over. I can't do it now, but trust me, I used to at one time. I remember when I could only bend over this far. Well, in dance class, you have to be able to bend all the way down and touch flat hands on the floor from straight leg positions. Or I have to take my foot and raise it straight up like this and then eventually get it straight up. It takes time to get those muscles limber enough to stretch them out like that. It takes time. I remember the day when I lived in Redding, California. I was in my back of my apartment. We were at the swimming pool. I'm around a bunch of beer drinkers and people out there, just regular people in the world. And I'm by the side of the pool, and I'm getting ready to dive in the pool, and I bend down and actually grab the side of the pool with my straight legs. I go, "What?" And I went over to the sidewalk, and I bent. I could touch the ground flat-handed. I got so excited. I was jumping and shouting. Everybody thought I was an absolute lunatic. But I didn't care because I'd been really working to be able to touch my hands flat on the ground. I'd have people leaning on my back as I'm sitting there with my legs straight out in front of me, leaning, pushing me over, helping me to be able to bend down further and further and further till I finally got it. I'll tell you, there was such joy that I could touch the ground flat-handed finally. Listen, that's a dumb excuse or that's a dumb thing to share with you, but the thing is, it's important. Our muscles are stiff. They're hard. They're not used to bending certain ways. And we have to press in with much tribulation to begin with. It hurt to stretch those muscles. It did. But I had a goal. I wanted to be able to dance. I wanted to be able to do certain movements that I couldn't do. We want to know how to locate things in the spiritual realm and get what's ours so that we can stay in rest and not labor and lament for those things. Let the Holy Spirit show us where it's at. Let the Holy Spirit heal us, walking in things. It would be nice to be able to pray for somebody and just have a movie play inside of your face on what's going on with that person, wouldn't it? That's what he does. He shows you things about people. But if you're not operating spiritually, you won't look, all right? Let me explain a principle to you. Inside of your heart, you have a TV monitor, right? And you can see pictures in your heart, or in your mind, we'll say, in your spirit, however you want to say it. If I said, picture your front door of your house, picture you reaching up to the door and opening your front door, you can picture that, can't you? But none of you are at your house or in your front door. But in the picture, in your interior person, you're able to picture those things, right? That's how everyone is led. God made it so every human being operates that way. If you can't see it, you can't do it. That's just the way it is. Even blind people have to see it to do it. They can see on their inside person. Now, they may operate in a realm of darkness, but they see through touch. They build an image through touching it. And through touching it, it builds an image in their mind that they can see. It's a different way of seeing, but they absolutely see. That's how they can walk around their house without tripping. The same way at midnight, you can walk around your house with your eyes closed and not trip. You know what to feel for. You know what's coming, right? You can do the same thing in the spiritual realm. So here's what I want to show you. To be able to see into the Spirit, you have to actively pursue seeing into the kingdom of God. You have to pursue it. Now, are you the only one? No, you got God showing you stuff too. So let me tell you how this works. If I see Millie with my eyeball, I can close my eyes and see that picture of Millie because I saw her with my eyes. So the way it works is this. I see with my natural eyes. It goes into my eyeball, through my optic nerve. A chemical then is created in my body and shines a picture on my brain in the screen of my mind. It's upside down, but it looks right side up to you and me in my brain, right? Then I can experience that thing. I have a memory now, and that's how I see, is from that right there. Now, do you know your body can't tell the difference if you're remembering or if you're seeing out of your eyeballs? Your body can't tell the difference. Why? Because a memory has that same influence. The picture creates that you look on your mind because your eyes go to that screen which makes the picture, your heart goes to that screen, which goes to the same place in your brain. So when you're remembering a tribulation, a trouble that you had in your life, a trauma or a wrong you've done, if anything stimulates that through a feeling or a circumstance and that picture comes back up, do you know you get the same feelings attached to it that you had? That's why a lot of people wallow in shame and guilt and condemnation, because that picture has the same strength as when the event took place. And that event took place a long time ago, but you carry the picture of it, and it has a chemical reaction in your body. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to heal us of, right? Now, that's a natural thing. Guess what? Your imagination can create a picture on that screen that is real. This world will line up to prove to you that what you believe in your heart is true. This world is designed to arrange itself to make you right. Listen, this is important. It's arranged to make you right. That means if you believe something is evil, it will make you right, and it will present itself as evil to you. If you believe something is harmful, it will make you right, and it will be presented as harmful to you. If you present to it that you're broken or deficient, life will create circumstances to prove to you you're broken and deficient. But if you will set that aside, like I set sugar aside, and start eating a different kind of a food, eventually that new food will sustain me, and then I'll get the proof of that pudding in my life. If we can take the time to agree with the Bible instead of our circumstances and what this flesh is proving to us over and over again, it's true. Like a pain in my shoulder, and it hurts me so bad, and I'm just waiting for someone to pray for me so that that pain leaves me. But you know what? I can do something in the meantime. I can start quoting scriptures under my breath. I can start seeing examples of people getting healed in the Bible, and I can start owning those things. I can start seeing in my mind's eye, in my imagination, in my inner person, my body totally healed and strong. By faith, I stopped smoking. I walked around my swimming pool smoking cigarettes. I couldn't quit. I said, "Lord, what am I going to do?" And he said, "Why don't you do it the way I would do it?" And I go, "How's that?" He says, "Call things that be not as though they are." In other words, what does not exist at all, make it real by saying it's real. Hello? That sounds crazy. Calling things that do not exist, in other words, saying things are true, that there's no proof of it as reality whatsoever. That's crazy. Are you telling me that if something does not exist, I can speak it into existence? That's what God said. He said, "That's how I operate." I walked around my swimming pool. I tried to quit smoking. I tried. All my friends would say, "Robert, please smoke. Please smoke. You are so grouchy and so irritable and so hard to be around. Just smoke, okay?" And I said, "No, I don't want to smoke. I don't want to be grouchy and irritable." And so I would walk around my swimming pool smoking cigarettes. Listen to this. I would say, "Lord, I thank you I have pink lungs. I thank you that I am healthy. I thank you that I love exercise and I love water. Lord, I have the best skin. I smell so good. When people hug me, they say, you smell good, Robert. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I am so happy that I'm one of the healthiest people I know. Thank you, Jesus. I love hiking and walking and exercising." When that cigarette was done, I'd crush it out and light another one. "Lord, you're so good to me. I have the best looking lungs. Boy, if they took a picture of my lungs, it can be in The dictionary, it looks so good, doesn't it, Lord? Thank you. I'm one of the healthiest people I know. Doesn't that sound like I'm lying? Here's what I did not do. I never addressed cigarettes. Never addressed them. He didn't say, call things that are as though they're not. I have pain in my shoulder. My shoulder is pain-free. The pain in my shoulder has left. I have no more pain in my shoulder. That doesn't work. Here, I'll do a little quick test with you. Ready? All of you participate. Do not think of an elephant. Do not picture an elephant with a very long trunk and it's gray and the elephant has great big ears. Do not picture it. I don't want you to think about the elephant. I want no pictures of elephants in this room. And they go with their trunk. Do not picture an elephant, okay? How many of you were able to not picture an elephant at all? Not even one flash of a picture. Everybody did. Why? Because it's not what you do or do not want. It's the subject. The content is all that your heart can focus on. So I don't focus on I don't want cigarettes or I want the pain to leave in my body. What I focus on is what my life is like that I want it to be. Right? So, Father, I thank you that I have full range of motions in both of my shoulders. Father, I thank you that I'm strong, that I have full and complete flexibility in my body. Father, I thank you that my body feels really good. And I'd go further and say, I thank you, Father, that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. By Jesus' blood, my sins have been forgiven. That I take communion and remember that because of his body, I'm healed. I thank you for that, Jesus. And I take scripture and faith and I put it together to get a result in my life. Did it happen in a second? No. Sometimes, yes. But not most of the time. Most of the time we have to press into the kingdom of God. We have to press in. We knock and we keep on knocking. Does God an evil God? No, he's a good God. If even us would give food to our own kids and we're evil, all that means is that our heart wastes a lot of stuff. It doesn't know how to focus on God yet. If we would just focus on God and give him our attention and actually enter in to seeing in the Spirit. If you want a gift from the Holy Spirit, it says you need to desire it. You have to go after it. You have to want it. Like the loaves of bread, we have to knock on that door when it seems like there is no answer and just keep on knocking. Just keep on knocking. Do you know, if you close your eyes and try to see into the Spirit, for most people, it's just a black screen. For most people, it's just darkness. It's just black. But if you ask God to open your spiritual eyes, open the eyes of my understanding and the eyes of my heart that I can see the things of the kingdom of God, Lord. If you press with it, your eyes will open. But most of us don't even know how to open our spiritual eyes yet. And let me just say this. Your eyes are not only your eyeballs. When I talked about the elephant, your eyeballs never saw an elephant. The eyes of your heart did. When I talked about you going to your front door and opening your front door, you saw it. But the eyes of your heart saw that. So seeing is more than your eyeballs. Seeing is being able to see your inner person sees. And the clarity that your inner person can see. Some people can see through intuition, just a knowing. You may not see the angels that are standing around this room, but you may be able to perceive that they're here. You may not see your angel that looks just like you, that's standing right beside you, that helps you in your time of need, but if you open your attention to your angel, then you can see him. But it takes being aware of the spiritual things around you. A lot of people don't even desire to know those things, let alone participate in them. They're too wrapped up in themselves only. But we have to be the people that enter by the narrow gate. The Bible says, few go that way. It's a very tight and constricted way to go. Do you think they're talking about not smoking anymore or drinking or having affairs when he says that the way is tight and difficult and broad is the gate that leads to destruction? Do you think he's talking about sinning on that? He's talking about pressing into the kingdom of God and how to go into the kingdom of God yourself to let your petitions be made to the Lord. That you can go to the throne of grace yourself. Where's that throne at? How do you get there? It's in the spiritual realm. It's you and I waking up spiritually and being spiritual men and women of God. We have a dynamic to us that the world does not have. We're spiritual. So therefore, we have to learn how to operate that way. Are you with me? One exercise is praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you guys pray in the Holy Ghost? How many of you make a habit of doing it regularly? How many of you do it in your heavenly language and in your natural earthly language? Many of you do? All right, I'm going to give you an exercise. It's not easy at first, okay? It's like when I learned how to do a barrel roll, a kick. You know, I don't know if I'm going to be on the film out here. But, you know, you swing your leg up and then you jump over your own leg. I used to fall on my face. Let me see if I can do it again, just for fun. So you swing it up and jump over the top of your leg. That's hard at first, okay? And the higher you lift your leg, the higher you got to jump. I fell down a few times practicing. This is an exercise. You may fall down a few times. So what? You're not going to get hurt. Just when you find yourself wandering in your mind, bring it back in again. Amen? We're talking about practice makes perfect. So, pray in tongues for 1 minute. Just 1 minute you pray in tongues. You get a scripture like I just gave you. He whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Pick that. Pick a Psalms 23 scripture. Pick 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes you were, past tense, healed. Pick Isaiah 53. He was bruised for us. Whatever, pick something. Meditate on that and pray in the Holy Spirit while you're meditating on the verse of the Bible, that that Bible verse can be illuminated to you. Take the time for the scriptures to be illuminated. If they're not illuminated yet, you need to get them illuminated. Otherwise, you can't get the light out of them for yourself. The Bible has to open up to give you life. Number one. So pick a scripture and think about it. Say it over and over again. Talk about it with other people. Pray in tongues, focusing on the scripture. Say, Holy Spirit, show me what this means. First, when you pray in tongues, you're able to read the Bible. Practice that. Practice praying in your heavenly language on the inside and reading the Bible on the outside. Okay? Now here's how, this is easier if you start this way. If you start by praying in tongues with your mouth, so your mouth moves, and read the Bible with your mind, that's easier to begin with. Practice that. Okay? Then we go to the next step, which is a little harder. And just take a couple of minutes and do this. Pray in tongues without moving your tongue. Pray in tongues in your mind. And then read your Bible in English out of your mouth. That's a little harder. I just want to let you know. That's harder to read English and still pray in tongues and be true to the fact you're praying in tongues. What are you learning how to do? You're training your spiritual man. You got to start training yourself, training yourself, training yourself. Okay? Next thing, start praying in the Spirit and start asking God to open the eyes of your understanding. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. Matthew 6:33. We need to be able to see into the heavenly realm. Listen, A lot of people don't want to see into the heavenly realm because they're afraid of demons, okay? And stuff like that. Nothing can touch you. Nothing can touch you. All you're doing is you're going to stand inside of an observation room that has real thick glass, and you're going to look out the window. That's all you're going to do, is look out the window. Practice focusing your eyes to see out the window. Practice seeing in the spirit. Is this thrilling to any of you? It's thrilling to me. But the thing is, if I don't take the time to do it, then I can't get the benefits of being spiritual. Am I saying you won't go to heaven if you do this? No. Am I saying you're not saved? No. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying there's more. We're in school, healing school. So we get to practice some things and learn how to do that. We've practiced rejoicing and glorifying God. I tell you, if you don't do that, your life is hard. If you want God to feel close to you, if you want to feel the real tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, then want Him. Want His presence. When you make room for Him, He shows up. Because He wants you. The Bible promises in James, if I'll draw near to Him, He'll draw near to me. Who makes the first move? Me. I'm going to tell you something, you guys, if you give me a few minutes. I was in heaven once, and the Lord took me to heaven. And yes, heaven's a real place, and you can go anytime you want. There's no lock, there's no gate, there's no thing to keep you out of heaven. You're allowed to go to heaven. Most people don't desire to go. They don't actually try to go. They want God to make all the moves. Just like you can have a vision from God. Remember the screen I'm talking about? God can give you a picture. He's shown me pictures that haven't come true yet, but they give me hope to keep moving forward. He can show you a picture. He can give you a dream or a vision. He can do that. He can give you an open vision where you're wide awake and you see something. That's the same scene. See, that's God passively putting an image in your heart. But you could actively do the very same thing. You're allowed. It's a two-way relationship, right? So I was in heaven one time. And the glory of God was really strong. And I was in front of Jesus on the throne. And I was at this place. It's a longer story. I'm just giving you one little piece of it. And I said, Jesus, you have to come back with me so that everybody can see that you really are real. You really are alive. You really are the Lord Most High. You got to come back with me. And you know what He said to me? It shocked me. I did not expect this at all. He said, I have come to man. Now man must come to me. How do you come to Him? People, I don't want to get too excited with you. Listen to me. So many people just say, Jesus, come into my heart. And then they go sit in a wheelchair. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They make no effort to grow in the Spirit. They're waiting for it to happen to them instead of them pursuing what's been given to them. You know what? I will hand feed a baby for a while. I'll let it start eating with its fingers, which is uncouth to an adult, but I just want the baby to learn how to get food into its mouth. And it's amazing how the baby figures out to put things in its mouth. In fact, you give it a chance, it'll put everything that fits in its mouth because it knows it needs nourishment. Do you know a baby spiritual person should be putting things in their spiritual mouth too that feeds them? And I'll feed that baby by hand for a little while, but there's going to come a day that I stop, take my hands off, and that baby better learn how to get that food in its mouth because it's too old for me to be hand-feeding it. Some of us have been wanting God to take care of us for a very, very long time instead of us learning how to go get things out of heaven that we need. Does that sound crazy to you? But it's absolutely available. God knows that you have need of these things. Therefore, seek the kingdom of God first. Right? Because once you know how to get into the kingdom of God, you can get your needs met very easily. Because God will show you where your stuff is at. God will show you what you need to do. You know, some people are sick because their eating habits are poor or they don't exercise. And God will tell you, I want you to drink more water. I want you to get more fresh air. I want you to stop thinking those thoughts and start thinking on good things, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's good report. In the spiritual realm, your thoughts actually draw either darkness or light to you. You're like a magnet out there just going out of you. And you're either drawing trouble to you or blessings to you. Me, as I was going, Lord, I thank you that I'm healthy. I'm thank you that I got beautiful skin. I'm thank you that when people hug me, because somebody hugged me once and said, Robert, you're a wonderful young man. You just smell like cigarettes. So I know that bothered. So I said in my thing, I said, I thank you that I smell good when people hug me. I smell good. You know what? I started countering the other stuff, and it started happening. So then I started saying things like this. Lord, I thank you that it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom of God. I thank you that you withhold no good thing from me. I thank you that you love me the same way you love Jesus. And you're willing to show me all the things of your kingdom. You want me to learn and to see. How about that for a change? How about saying, Lord, I thank you that my body is impervious to pain. I thank you that no matter what weapons are arrayed against me, they can't touch me because your glory is so strong. Hello, are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to say, Lord, you are so good to me that I am shocked at how blessed I am? Are you allowed to do that? Lord, you're so good to me. Anything I pray happens. Lord, you bring blessings to me all the time. Is there any sign of that happening right now? No, you may have a terrible job. You may have a terrible bank account. You may have terrible everything. You got to start somewhere. Does it sound like lying in the beginning? Yes. According to the natural, it's lying. But what we're doing is we're taking the spiritual and overriding the natural. Is darkness in this room? Yes. It's just as dark in here as it will ever be. There's as much darkness in here as there ever has been. But the light is a higher rule above the rule of darkness. So the light always removes the darkness. The darkness doesn't go somewhere else. The darkness doesn't go anywhere else. It's here. It's just the light is greater than the darkness. The spirit is greater than the natural. So when you start learning how to get things out of the spirit and going and petitioning God out of the spirit and getting it that way, then it will overrule what's happening in this natural world. Yes. They have a free will. They get to choose, though. They have a, all right, I'm going to tell you how this works. Ready? This is a stumbling block for some people. You can't make anybody do anything that they don't want to do. But I found that most people are mindless, and so if you pray something for them, as it pops in their mind, they'll just do it. Because they aren't leading their own life. They're being led by whatever feelings and stuff pops into their screen. So if I pray for people, I'm praying for them to get saved or to be healed or whatever the case may be. First of all, I go before God on that, and I see it in the spiritual realm happening, and then I start saying what I see. Got it? I only do what I see my Father do and say what I hear my Father say. We got to get to that place to where we start seeing things in the spiritual realm so that we can start doing those things we see, right? And I want to let you know, it's already working for you. You just might not put two and two together yet. You already get flashes. You already get little images. You already get these inklings and ideas. They already happen. But you might not be knowing, this is how the Holy Spirit teaches me. This is how God teaches me. It's not the big booming voice out of the sky. It's those little pictures that, and those feelings and those little knowings. That's how the Holy Spirit teaches me. So when I picture a person that I want to be saved or I want them to stop being a booger and start being nicer, first of all, I see them by faith and I break the power of the enemy over them, and I decree that they will be in the kingdom of God. And I speak life over them, that I claim them for the kingdom of God, because I have a relationship with them. So since I have a relationship with them, I'm allowed to have authority in their world. If I don't know the person, I have no authority in their life at all. But if I know the person, if they're around me, I can claim them for the kingdom of God. And in doing that, then I start speaking things over their lives so that opportunities come, they get dreams, they get visions, that their heart is open, that a person can come into their life and minister to them. I start tilling the ground for a new harvest in their life. And I start speaking. If I meet them face to face, and they go, don't talk about that God stuff. I'll just look at them and say, oh yeah, I can understand why it's bothering you, because he's calling you into the kingdom and you're resisting him. Not you, you're going to be there forever. You're in. But somebody else. I'd say, you're just resisting the Holy Spirit. He's already calling you. That's why it's so aggravating. And I just start speaking life over people. Speaking life over them. Planting, planting, planting. God gives the increase. I don't. He's the one that will ignite their heart on fire. He's the one that will speak to their heart. He's the one that will change their lives. We can't do that. But what we can do is be obedient and groom that as much as possible. Same thing with a sickness in our body. I've had this sickness that's been bothering me, a routine thing that comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. You know what? I had to get to the place where I said, Holy Spirit, what's going on? Do I have a door open? Is there something I believe? Is there something, a signal that I'm ignoring? What's happening here? And I have to get before the Holy Spirit and ask him, where am I missing it? Because it keeps coming over and over again. Something I'm not doing to stop it is happening, right? Whether it's demonic influence, whether it's a natural health issue, whether it's the way I think, whether it's something I believed way back and I've just latched onto and I've never forgiven, or in a hold of offense, and it just gave the enemy a foothold right there, and I am unwilling to clean up that area of my heart, and so it keeps coming and getting me by that. That takes you and the Holy Spirit to find out where that thing is at. Amen? And he will show you if you genuinely pursue an answer. Is any of this helping at all? So, this is what I would encourage. Know for a fact that God is good and he wants to give you whatever you want in the spiritual realm. And I want to tell you, good or bad. Good or bad. Good or bad. So want good things. Want lovely things. Want to bless. Because I'll tell you what, you can curse somebody too. I'm not saying you all would do that. But that's all a cursing is. Speaking negative over a person curses that person. Don't speak negative over yourself. Don't say, I'm so dumb, or I always mess up, or I never get it right. Don't do that stuff to yourself. Okay? Say only wonderful things about yourself. I'm blessed. I'm anointed. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I'm forever going to be in heaven. My name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm Jesus' favorite. He loves hanging out with me. He willingly shows me things. Man, Jesus is so good to me. Elijah, seeing the fiery horses and chariots, that's nothing compared to what God shows me. Praise the Lord. I see angels. I see all kinds of wonderful things. I see all the treasures people have in their lives that they've not yet claimed. I love telling people the good things I see in the Spirit. Start talking that way. Amen. Start grooming that. Now that I'm eating a different way, I'm getting the results, and I like this new diet. But I still have to think consciously all the time, because it's only been something I've been doing for 5 or 6 months, right? But I'm still on it. The same way with learning how to operate in the Spirit and going there first. That's your natural way of operating first. And then deal with this natural realm, right? The physical things. The spiritual realm and the natural realm are superimposed on each other right here, right now. But the problem is the earthly person can't see into that realm. So we have to learn how to get our spiritual eyes open and our spiritual ears open to start participating in those things. Then we can have faith. Then we can be full of joy. Then we can start rejoicing in tribulations. Amen? Because we are starting to see how this stuff operates. You guys all right? Is that good? Amen. So let's practice. Can we do that? All right. So whatever it is you're believing God for, this is another thing. Practice seeing your life the way you want it. For me, that it's like doing backflips. Remember when I said I was learning how to do backflips? I couldn't get the picture in my head of what it felt like to have my feet go over my head and land on my feet. And so I would flutter around, I'd turn around. I started doing it on the side of the swimming pool first, you know, before I started doing it on the real ground. You know, I started doing it on the swimming pool, then I did it in the grass before I did it on the ground. And then, you know, I'd have people help flip me over to begin with. So I started doing things like that, okay? Seeing the life you really want, if you need a change in your life, you've got to be able to picture that. Walk with the Lord and see yourself in that life, being that way. Not something way too high for you that's impossible. Like, I believe God for a gazillion dollars. I don't even know what a gazillion dollars looks like. How can I believe for that? I have to be able to believe, right? So start with being able to believe something. Like, how about this? Lord, I'd like you to wake me up at 5:17 in the morning. 5:17 in the morning, Lord. I'd like you to wake me up. 5:17. I'm throwing a number out. Just pick something easy. And see if the Holy Spirit wakes you up at 5:17. Just see. He will. Practice on little things. So you start seeing that God is with you always. Then start giving the Holy Spirit credit for waking you up. And you just didn't happen to do that on your own. Start acknowledging Him in all of your ways. Okay? And then practice picturing what you want in your life. How do you want it to go? How do you see this church? Is it full of people or is it empty? How do you see it? How do you see people treating you? How do you see your finances? Pick something and take time to see the picture clearly. At first, it's clunky and hard to hold it there. But the Bible says, he who sets his mind on the Lord. So what you need to do is set your mind on the things above, it says in Colossians 3, and not on the things in this earth. Corinthians says that we see the invisible things, which are eternal, right? And so we have to learn how to do that by picturing these things. And once you can find the picture, hold it. Walk through that picture. Make it real for yourself. And then you know what? Because you're in rest and not being laborious, it will show up in your life. An opportunity will come. An intuition to go do something, say something, meet someone, make a phone call, whatever, will arrange your world that those two things meet. Because once it's real in the spirit for you and it's yours in the spirit, it's yours in the natural, right? But if we don't practice, it won't be made perfect. If we just let it fall to the ground, it'll just be another thing that we heard. Listen, it's not whether you're good or bad or educated or a man or a woman or old or young. It's not that. It's how clearly can you see it. Do you press in, Holy Spirit, let my eyes be open so I can see these things. Let me see you operating in my world. Okay? And as we practice doing that stuff, it'll just grow and grow and grow. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. God is good and he'll give those things to you, right? It's not that he's withholding anything from you. He wants you to draw near to him and then he will draw near to you. Submit to God, come under his authority, and resist the devil, and he'll flee. The racing thoughts, the emotions, all the emergencies of all the things you need to do instead of being quiet before God. get your Bible, pray in your language, meditate on the Word, let the revelation come out and be alive. Notice the presence of the Holy Spirit, acknowledge Him, and let your request be made known. That's all. And then believe God. And just keep pressing in. When we pray in our heavenly language, it builds us up on the inside so that it gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And then you too can let your light so shine. Amen? Amen. Father, I just pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that, Father, that these things would have been made simple, Father, that we can be changed and transformed by just simply walking these things out. Father, I ask that we have help from heaven as we're doing these things, that we have ministering angels to help to remind us, Holy Spirit to help to remind us, that we would start walking when we leave this room, even when we go to lunch, when we go to the grocery store, when we go home, that we would acknowledge you in all of our ways and not just say, oh Lord, I acknowledge you, but to really be aware of your presence with us, to really be listening as you're leading us, to be led by you, Holy Spirit, to start seeing in the spiritual realm of the people around us and what they're going through so that we know how to pray for them, Lord Jesus. And Father, I thank you that you are so faithful. You delight to give us the things of the kingdom of God. You delight to make yourself manifest to us. You delight to teach us and to be with us and to show us how to do these things, that we're growing up in the Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I ask that you give every single person that can hear my voice an opportunity to test this out, an opportunity to be successful so they can keep pressing in and keep pressing in and getting more and more and more results. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.